Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Luke chapter 2, we're going to go ahead and read the Christmas story, and I'm just going to share a few thoughts, and then we'll close in one final song. I'd like to start in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. That's what I said, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to register with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. May we pray. Father God, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that our eyes have been opened to the truth of what this season means. That yes, God, it's wonderful to dress up. Yes, it's wonderful to have sweet snacks and lovely food, to decorate our homes and to have gifts and presents that we share with one another. But Lord, may we never forget the real reason for this season is the greatest gift heaven ever gave to earth, your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a babe to live a life of perfection, to fulfill your righteous requirement that we all who believe in him would have our sins forgiven and live in eternity in heaven. God, may we embrace this message this morning in a new and vibrant way, and may we, in our days ahead, bring glory and honor to you, God. For this is your message, this is your truth, and this is the gift that you've given to us. May we unwrap it and may we enjoy it all the days of our lives. So bless us as we consider these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I was so touched by that last song that we sang. You know, we give you all the glory. And if there is one thing we can do as Christians, and that is to strive in everything that we do to give glory to God. If you ever question what it is you're doing or the choices that you're making, always consider those words. Does it bring glory to God? Is the actions that you're taking, are the choices that you're making, are the thoughts that you're thinking, are the things that you're saying bringing glory to God? For if they are, and if you are bringing glory to God, then he is well pleased with you. And so as we look at this Christmas story, there's one thing that I've noticed this particular year, because every year it's the same story, but every year I try to see something different. I'm asking God to show me something different. And what really has struck me this year is the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of God giving a son, a baby, that Jesus Christ himself, God himself, came as a wee child. And to try to think about that, to try to understand that, those of you who have children, those of you who've given birth, you understand that emotion, you understand that connection to a small child, to a precious, innocent, pure creation. Little fingers and little toes and little eyes and little ears and everything that comes along with that. And our Savior came in that form. He was born into this world. He came in the simplest of ways. And I believe that is the best way for our Savior to come. For had he come as a king, had he come as all-powerful, we might not feel as approachable. We might not feel as though we could come to God. But as a baby, we all want to come and we want to embrace him. We want to feel that experience. But see, he didn't stay in that form, did he? No, he grew. And he became our Savior. And he died upon a cross and gave his life that we should have salvation. And it's interesting to me to see that in this small way, and in this powerful way, it is a reminder for us every Christmas of what Christmas is really about. The meaning of Christmas. I don't know if you can try to imagine it. Before I became a Christian, Christmas was about presents. Christmas was about parties. Christmas was about, sure, getting together with family and having fun, but it had no lasting meaning. It didn't last beyond Christmas season until the next Christmas season came. And so for a world that doesn't embrace the truth of what this message means, it's empty. It doesn't last forever. The toys break. The batteries run dead. The clothes wear out. I mean, it's not lasting, but for us as Christians, we know the real meaning of Christmas is Jesus. And it might seem strange to you, but I'm going to use this illustration. Don't laugh at me, please. Have any of you seen A Charlie Brown Christmas? It's a classic. My wife caught me watching it the other night. I was trying to get it in before she came home because I was doing research. I want you to understand, this comic, this story, is powerful. And it, as I did some research about a Charlie Brown Christmas, it was so striking to me. The creator, you know, Charles Schulz, who created it, when they created the story and when they created the whole thing, they really feel like they didn't have much. If you've watched it, and again, I did watch a little bit of it the other night, it is pretty primitive, it is pretty simple, it is pretty basic. And even in the story, they're like, this thing's going to be a flop. But if you remember at the end of the story, Linus, right, standing up on stage, because the whole story is about Charlie Brown. You know Charlie Brown. What's Christmas all about? You know, sad Charlie Brown didn't have the joy of Christmas. Wasn't feeling it like everybody else was. And so he becomes this play director to try to figure it out. And at the end of it, he's like, does anybody know what Christmas is about? And his friend Linus, it's a beautiful one-minute section where Linus looks to him, I know what Christmas is all about. And he steps to the center of the stage. You need to watch it if you haven't seen it this year. And he recites this area of scripture we just read. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, he recites. And I share this because Charles Schulz was a passionate Christian. And he put it in there for a reason. And there's other things within the story. But the producers fought him tooth and nail to take out that one-minute speech because it was religious. They were afraid that the advertisers wouldn't embrace it. They were afraid that they wouldn't have people watch it. After this aired, it was the second largest airing that week. 15 million people viewed this, and it's become a classic. It's number two behind Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I just love the passion of Charles fighting it, going, I will not allow you to take that out. And it's with this pastor's heart to say, I believe it was a success. Because it was left in. The reality of Linus standing up there and saying, this is what Christmas is really about, Charlie Brown. Maybe tomorrow morning you need to be reminded what Christmas is really about. And I hope you remember that it's about a baby that was born in Bethlehem. And it was announced to shepherds. Notice it wasn't announced to the religious leaders. Notice it wasn't announced in Jerusalem. No, it was announced in the fields of Bethlehem. To shepherds. Now, you may not understand shepherds in these days. They were downtrodden. They were humble, hard workers, which I think is important that the message came to them. But they were also those that were considered unclean, and they were never allowed to go into the temple. And actually, these shepherds were actually the shepherds that took care of the sacrifice, the lambs for the sacrifices. So they had an important job. But see, the thing is, we need to stand up for the truth of what Christmas really means. Charles Schulz said to the producers, if we don't leave this line in, who will? Who did that? Don't steal my joy yet. It'll come. But Charles Schulz said something. He said, if we don't leave this line in, who will? And I want you to think about that for a minute. If we as believers, if we as Christians, if we as those who believe in the gospel, in the word of God, and that Jesus was real, if we won't leave it in, who will? Guys, we know we live in a time where it's being pushed out and removed and removed. It's our job to leave it in. So I'm encouraging you this year, leave it in. Let your kids know about this baby Jesus. Let them know that when they unwrap a present, it's like unwrapping the present of Christ. Teach them the truth of the gospel, because a baby was born for all of us. So leave it in. No, these shepherds were not just shepherds. And I think it's so cool that the angel shows up to them and says, listen, there's good news coming. There's a child that's been born. And I'm telling you, notice it says, if you go back to verse 10, is it verse 10? Verse 12. And this will, I never noticed this before. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. We might read right over that. A babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. When a baby is born in the hospital, what do? They wrap them tightly in, right? They want them to feel the comfort of the womb, right? So it swaddled them. For these shepherds, it meant something different. It wasn't just protecting the baby. It wasn't just, hey, there's going to be a baby that's wrapped in swaddling cloths, because all babies were probably wrapped in swaddling cloths then. But this one's going to be lying in a feed trough. This one's going to be a little bit different. But the swaddling meant something even more important to these shepherds. Because these shepherds that were taking care of the sacrifices for the temple, when a lamb was born, they would wrap him in swaddling cloths and set them aside. Because remember, the sacrifices in the temple needed to be what? Needed to be perfect, without blemish. So they were caring for them, wrapping them. So when this angel said to them, you will find a child wrapped in swaddling cloths, it would immediately have identified to them, it's about a sacrifice. It's about a sacrifice for the temple. And so Jesus wasn't just the only baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, but he was a baby that these shepherds would find wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger with mom and dad in Bethlehem. And the message was given to them and to us, that we would remember that Jesus wraps us up in his grace, he wraps us up in his mercy, and that we need to make sure that we are preserving this story and we are preserving this message. This message brought great joy for these shepherds, so much so that they said to each other, let's go and see this thing that has been made known to us. See, God speaks to us. God speaks to you. And it's important that we keep our ears open to the details that God gives to us as he shares his word with us. So as you search the scriptures, as you read your Bible, as you grow in the Lord, be in tune to the things that he's speaking to you, how he's speaking to you, the details of what he's saying to you. Verse 10 is the last thing I want to leave with you. As the angel comes to the shepherds, the presence of an angel probably would have been fearful enough for them. But notice it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. God lit up the place. His presence was powerful, and these shepherds were fearful. They didn't know what they were seeing. But notice in verse 10 it says, then an angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. what the angel said to these shepherds. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, the Messiah was coming. They knew that this was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They understood what it meant that these angels were telling them. And it was a powerful, powerful message. My friends, no matter how much the Bible tells us not to worry, not to fret, not to be afraid, there are times in our lives that we're fearful, are we not? There are times that we come up into circumstances that are beyond our ability to deal with them. As much as we try to work through them and push them down, there are going to be times in your life where you're going to be fearful, and you're going to try and hold on to something else besides God. My last illustration. In this story, I don't know if anybody's ever noticed it or not, but when Linus repeats verse 10 and says, "Do not be afraid," notice what he's not holding in his hands. His security blanket. Charles Schulz and the writers made sure that when the angel said, "Do not be afraid," Linus drops his security blanket and doesn't pick it up again until he finishes and walks off the stage. The only time in all of Peanuts that Linus does not have his blanket. Listen, there are times in our lives when we aren't going to hold on to our security blankets because it brings us comfort. But there are also going to be those times where God's going to say, "Don't be afraid. I am with you." The message of Christmas is Jesus came, God with us. He is there with us. He's there to be with us all the days of our lives. So we need not be afraid. And if you are fearful or if you're dealing with something in your life, whether it's on Christmas or in the middle of January next month, I pray that the message that these angels gave to these shepherds is going to ring true in your head, in the sense God's going to say to you, "Don't be afraid. I am with you." It is our job as believers to let a world know that we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be fearful. We have God with us. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience bad things. It doesn't mean that life isn't going to get hard. It is. But we're going to do this together, and we're going to do this with the power and the strength that God gives us. Christmas time reminds us to not be afraid that our Savior was born, and He is always here with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray, and we'll sing one final song. Our worship team can come back up. Father God, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you that it is a constant reminder of the great work that you did by sending your Son. And Lord, it's great to be here at Christmas time and read the story of the birth of Jesus. But Lord, we know that the story doesn't end here. That Lord Jesus, you grow to be a man of God, a man that lives a sinless life, a man that sets an example for all the world to overcome sin, to allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to enable us to say no to sin and say yes to glorifying our Father in heaven. And so this Christmas, as we remember what you've done, may we remember what you continue to do with us, that you constantly tell us not to be afraid, to not be fearful. We see it time and time again in your word, how you tell your people, "Don't be afraid, I am with you. Do not fear, I will go before you." God, we pray that as this year ends and as the next year starts, that we will not only see your hand in the year that has passed, but we will also see your hand in the year that is ahead. And we pray, God, that you would continually strengthen us, enable us, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We are so thankful, Lord, for the country that we live in. I was reminded this week of all the men and women who sacrificed so much that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And so, God, I pray for all of those who have given their lives for our freedoms, who have fought overseas and fought on these lands to give us the freedoms and the liberties that we so enjoy. Help us to remember those that are still here with us, that are still fighting, those that even are suffering, Lord, from post-traumatic stress disorder, those that are struggling with the things that they've seen. God, may we acknowledge the men and women in uniform and go up to them and thank them for their service. We pray for those that, especially those that we know so close to our family, that are physically suffering, that are physically going through things that are causing them pain and discomfort. God, I pray for healing upon them. Pray that you would sharpen their minds and lift up their hearts. Reveal yourself to them, God. The duty every American should have is to be thankful for those who have fought for them. For they were living out, whether they knew it or not, that Christ-like character who gave his life for us. So God, we thank you for this Christmas. We pray that it would continue to be merry and that we would have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. To you be the glory and the praise, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.